Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
WGN. As I said, Mary Vandeveld back from vacation. And Mary, you're back on a very special day.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You missed our big meeting yesterday.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, Mary, you're going to feel so bad when you hear this.
Should we have Mary Sandberg?
Nervous.
I don't want to say break the news, but break the big information to Mary Vandeveld.
There's a new twist to the Wang Dang Doodle.
Woo!
No.
The Wang Dang Doodle. Back
Doesn't
today.
Shock me. Every year there's a new one.
We're now in on two teams.
What does that mean?
Every year we do something. Something different.
We keep it fresh, Mary.
Try to freshen it up. Yeah, exactly, Mary.
Keep it freshly goofy.
We should remind
strange.
Mary Sandberg, or tell Mary Sandberg, because she's kind of the keeper of the rules this time around, that Dave Emmett won last year.
Oh.
I won the year before.
Gee, I don't even remember who won.
And that was it. That's it. So that's
where's
our,
the trophy?
That's the deep list here.
That's the deep list here.
Well, Mary, so there's going to be two teams this year.
Okay.
There's the do cares and the don't cares.
Yes. And we took the liberty of placing you on the don't care team.
And you're also captaining the don't care team.
Captaining?
Captaining.
Oh, captaining.
You're the captain of the don't care team.
Well, that's really funny because this is actually something I do care about.
Oh.
Football.
Too late.
I love football.
Yes, can't switch
it. But do you care about the competition?
But I do want to be the captain, so I'm happy.
Okay. And your team is me, Sandberg.
Yes. Two Marys.
Steve Krasanich.
Mm-hmm. Two Marys.
Bennett Wakenight.
Mm-hmm.
John DeCoss.
Yeah. And the do cares are the caring team.
The caring
team. Who's left besides Andre and Steve and Dave?
Dave Emmett, the captain.
And Mike.
Dave Emmett is the captain. To some controversy.
How'd that happen?
Dave Emmett is the captain of the
care
team.
I don't believe there
team.
Was any controversy.
Yeah. What controversy?
Oh, and you guys left that room?
Andre wasn't in the meeting.
I tell you. So it's myself, Dave Emmett, Mike Jacobson, Steve Cochran, and Steve's mom, right?
Steve's mom, Ann, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we
and my dog.
Fierce team.
Oh.
You're adding people now?
Now that he's not a person, really.
Did you ask Sandberg if you could?
No, I'll run that by.
Right.
Hey, I'll leave that as maybe a possibility.
And Mary, each week, the do care team picks ahead of the don't care team.
Right, because we care.
What?
Yeah.
We care. That's not fair at all.
That's okay.
That's the rules.
Because usually the do cares are the ones that kind of know a little more about football. But in this case, no. Yeah. But wait a minute.
Don't sleep on the
Who
don't
made
cares.
These rules?
Yeah. It was a lot.
What's the name of the show again?
Oh.
Now you know who made the rules.
Right. We just follow. We go along with the rules. But I think, I think this will be good. Because last year was... We should just throw out all of last year. The winner and everything. Well, just start from...
Yeah, that was all, we had to pick. And it was computer oriented.
Mary, it was crazy.
Yeah, there's no computer aspect of this one.
Is this just all luck then?
You're going to pick a quarterback. You're going to pick a game, a winner. And then you're going to pick a point spread.
For the first Bears game, we pick a winner?
Could be any game.
You pick any game.
This is why we're doing this
game.
Look at the schedule for Sunday and find a game that you feel good about.
Pick a game.
And
like
pick the winner.
Bears, Packers.
Except for you can't, we can't all pick
the same team.
Yeah,
this is the problem.
Well, then that's dumb.
By the time it gets to us, Mary, we've got no chance, basically.
Yeah.
We're left with all the scraps.
It'll be fine.
And you have to pick a quarterback, and it's going to be based on his quarterback rating. So
right.
How he
Again,
does
though,
in the game.
And you guys all get to
all
pick.
Get to pick
this is bad.
Yeah, no, this is good.
this is good.
Mary, I'm not kidding.
Why did I end up on the don't care team?
How long? Because you don't care, really.
You'll lose interest.
No, you don't.
I do care
you
about
hate
football.
These,
I
love
hate
football.
These competitions. Well, I do hate the competitions, but I like football.
I believe Mike did your impersonation of you in the meeting yesterday.
Yes,
this will be good.
Mike Jacobson playing the role of Mary Vandeveld.
I mean, this is going to be a disaster. I mean, come on. Every year, it's something different.
Well, I did already say that.
That is very good.
It's pretty close, right?
We should put them side by side, the audio. No, it'll be fun. Wang Dang Doodle will explain all the rules.
Love you, Mary.
A little bit later on this morning. Which one?
I don't think we're explaining it.
Explain them to us.
Yeah, that's about it, listeners.
Yes, it is.
And don't be sucking up to the other team, Jake. We got a good thing going here.
Wait a minute. Is there a team trophy? There's no individual winner then.
Right. There's just a team.
Yeah, okay. There will be individual competition also.
Oh, that's Dave is just adding that in.
No, Steve said that.
Oh, goodness.
And when's he going to make up that rule?
Mary is right, though, Vanderbilt. We'll have to bring our trophies down so you can see. Although it is pretty funny, the first year trophy was this big honking one from the dollar store. And the second year one was just this little one. Mm-hmm. And I accidentally, Steve passed
right.
it to
on
me.
On purpose.
I handed it to Dave as I started to kind of toss it to him. It fell
toss
on the floor
it.
Of the football.
You don't toss trophies around.
Mary, it's the size of, it's like
it was
the size
a piece
of
junk anyway.
It's the size of a miniature coffee yeah. cup. And it fell on the floor and cracked off, so.
Right.
That sounds like that was
Andrea's story.
That's my story, and I'm sticking
Steve
to it.
Steve is just standing outside the studio listening to all of this.
Come in. He's afraid.
He
is
afraid. Now he decided okay. to come in.
So the Cubs, woo, magic number is 10. Look at that. They well, sucked in Milwaukee last night. Hey, Steve.
Hi, how are
what's up, what's up?
What's going on? Are you guys doing anything?
We were talking about the Wang Dang Doodle.
Yeah, Steve, it's really great.
So you know what? You don't even have to go into, we don't even have to go into horribly long explanations this time around.
Because Mary understands it already?
You can
I
say
I understand that.
That
the rules are bent towards the do care team.
Listen, you're the don't care team. You're not the angry, bitter team. You're the don't care team.
Right.
But I'm angry and bitter. I'm not on the do care team.
Oh, you don't care?
I do care about football.
No.
I'm sorry, you're the captain of the don't care.
Well, that's okay then.
Yeah. And the idea would be, you know, it's not, I don't think I've talked about this. It's like when monkeys pick stocks and the monkeys end up picking the stocks and the analysts end up losing.
Yeah.
It's a good social experiment, Mary, to see if the don't cares can win.
What, you're calling us the monkey team?
God, I knew you'd go girl on where were you yesterday,
hey, don't
by the way?
Think girl.
I was in the Northwoods, Wisconsin, getting bit up by mosquitoes.
And did you have a good time?
I did, yeah.
Extended Labor Day weekend for you?
We hit a coyote.
Oh, no kidding.
You hit
with
it?
A car. Yeah. It's crazy.
Maybe it was the one by Dave's house.
It could have been. He should thank me. But it wasn't Stevens Point, so it was a little far.
Was yeah. it good eating?
I don't know. We just kind of left it, and it was
like
scary.
Chicken.
It darted out of nowhere.
Was it injured?
Well, I believe it was more than injured, Dave.
Aww,
I'm not quite
coyote.
Sure.
Too bad I didn't stop to check its vitals.
Well, it was a coyote.
I know. Although I'm suggesting that you wouldn't stop.
No, we had to pull over way ahead and look
at the car. Did you call the DNR?
No.
You know, you should always check. God forbid, what if it was a dog?
It was not a dog. My husband's, I was not really looking. I think I was texting, but I was a passenger, so that was okay. So anyway, then I just heard this big bam, and he goes, I think we just hit a coyote. I go, you sure it was a coyote? He's like, yeah. And it wasn't a deer. You can kind of tell.
Well, coyotes aren't that big. No damage
no,
to your car.
No, he knew it was a no. We pulled over yeah. and looked, and I think part of the coyote might have been under the car, but because we ran into a dog in Wisconsin who was sniffing under the car later, and
coyote DNA.
Yeah. It was not fun. But other than that, we had a great time.
Sort of feel bad for the coyote.
We didn't
really?
Hit anything else. No deer.
Yeah, Lee, you're not on the side of the road there.
What did you? What would you have done?
Called 311.
311 in northern Wisconsin?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
311 in northern Wisconsin
they
gets
answer.
You
actually,
the
I,
local outdoor store to sell you overalls.
I hit a large animal that's laying in the road.
You know, now that I do recall, there was no tech service in that area, because there usually isn't. So I must have been reading or something.
No,
but
survival of the fittest. You're in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You're lucky you're alive.
Oh, exactly. God. That's a coyote.
All right, 6:21 now. Later today at Know Your Chicago. You know, you guys know about this Know Your Chicago event?
No.
Yeah.
Know Your Chicago event going on the UFC campus. New ideas about how Chicago can deal with all sorts of things going on. But in specific, let's talk about the heroin epidemic and the problem we have. It's not just in the burbs. We think that, you know, these kids come out from the burbs. They literally do a heroin drive-through. You know, in the west part of the city, there's a couple of exits off the Eisenhower. They pop off. They go. They pick up their drugs. Literally, you know, drop the window.
Mm-hmm.
Give them some cash. Here's your drugs. Go back to the burbs.
Happens all the time. Every weekend. Every day, probably.
So how do you deal with it? Well, a recovering addict is William Moyers, Vice President of Public Affairs and Community Relations at Hazelden Betty Ford. Location of the city is here on North Dearborn. We know how good Hazelden is at what they do, and he joins us now. Good morning, William. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. Good morning to yourself, and thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on your sobriety. How long?
Well, I've been committed to recovery since 1994. I started using marijuana at the age of 15, way back in the good old days of the 70s when we didn't think that marijuana was a dangerous substance, and my use of legal and illegal drugs progressed or spiraled me downward until I hit bottom in 1989 in a crack house in New York City. And then I began the slow, somewhat difficult climb back, and finally found sustainable recovery in 1994, and I have been committed to recovery ever since that year.
What made you decide you wanted to live and not die?
That was exactly it, Steve. I got to the point at the age of 35 that I said, you know, I can't do this anymore. It's not working. This is not about willpower. It's not about bucking up or getting my act together in the sense of gritting it out. I recognized in my mid-30s that I actually had a chronic illness. It doesn't excuse it, but it helps to explain why I could have the background that I had, raised with everything good, lacked for nothing, but have a brain that and a body that process mood and mind-altering substances differently, and I spiraled downward, and I got to the point, I said, you know, I don't want to die. I've got too much to live for, and that's when I took the professional advice that had been offered me through treatment and learned to take responsibility for managing my illness. So it really came down to being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And yeah. So I'm lucky that I had access to treatment, which unfortunately not a lot of people have these days.
Well, it's a parallel line message, right? It's a message to the addict that you're the only one that can fix you. And you do have to get to that point where you decide that you love yourself enough and you're valuable enough to do that, and you want to do that, and you want to live and not die. And the rest is to the people, and believe me, I know this because I'm king of the codependents. You can't love somebody out of a heroin addiction, out of an alcohol addiction, out of any sort of addiction. You can't love them hard enough. You can't hate them hard enough. It just doesn't work that way. And that's why Hazelden Betty Ford is such a legend and such an important part of the community. So I salute the work you're doing there.
Well, thanks. And, you know, a lot of your listeners in Chicago don't know that Hazelden Betty Ford is there. We've been there since the late 90s. We purchased the old Soviet consulate on North Dearborn and back in the 90s. And I remember when we did that, I was working at Hazel at the time as a policy specialist. And we put a footprint there and have grown over the years to the point where lots of people from the community of Chicago and elsewhere come there to not just to find recovery, but to learn how to live in recovery in the real world. The real world is not an easy place for addicts and alcoholics to live because we like to medicate our way out of difficult situations. But there we are on North Dearborn doing good work and partnering with other organizations and doing events like today. I'm coming to the University of Chicago to talk about addiction and treatment and recovery. And so Chicago's a great place for people to find help and to find recovery.
William, what would you say to, I guess, the younger people? You said you were very young when you started trying marijuana and then it escalated into other drugs. But for the younger people, say, well, it's just recreation. It's just social.
Well, and you know, the irony of it is there are a lot of people who can use responsibly or who can use recreationally. I mean, you know, you can go to a Bears game and have a couple of beers and that's the end of it. Or you can you know, you can go to a wedding and have a glass of champagne and that's it. Or there are even people who can use illegal drugs in a way that, they may be illegal, but they don't, you know, they don't kill themselves or kill other people. What I say to young people is what I say to everybody, which is that you may choose to use legal or illegal substances and you may have no consequences, or you may choose to use those substances and develop all kinds of consequences like I did. So what I say, especially to young people, is be careful, and if you can wait until you're 21 years old to experiment with alcohol, and if you can find other ways to have fun other than, you know, getting drunk or stoned, do it. But I also emphasize to people, and I think this is an important message that I'll bring to Chicago today, what I say to young people all the time is, if you choose to use and you develop a consequence, it is okay to ask for help. When I was growing up in the 70s, it was a time when, you know, nobody ever told me that. We never talked about those substances. So it's okay to ask.
And by the way, if you got in trouble, well, like you did, or my brother did, the last thing you do was ask for help. You got more insulated, and you were supposed to fix it yourself, and that's not how it works.
Or, Steve, we got in trouble, and there was no alternative or option to get treatment in addition to being held accountable to the criminal justice system. That's why drug courts are so important. That's why diversion programs in Illinois are so important. Hold people accountable, whether they be stone cold sober or stoned out of their minds. But one of the ways to hold them accountable is to make sure they get treatment and begin to work a recovery program.
There's a lot of parents and grandparents that listen every morning, and you know, some of them, in all likelihood, are dealing with a kid that they love, and the kid's in trouble. You know, it could be heroin because it's such a big part of what's going on in the culture and the burbs now in particular. I mean, what do you say to parents who go, what do? Do I lock him in his room? Do I take away the car? I've tried everything. What do I do?
It's really tough, and I've experienced it in my own life. I'm a father of three grown children, and I have all the tools and resources at my disposal because I have been there and done that, and even I have struggled with that. What I say to parents or to grandparents is you've got to continue to love your child or love your grandchild, even while you loathe or while you hate the disease that they have, if in fact they have the disease of addiction. And what I say is, you know, you got to set boundaries. You got to keep that line of communication open, but you got to set boundaries and not let them walk all over you. Don't loan them money. Tell them that you expect them to get help. Help them get help. You know, insurance covers addiction like never before in this country. And people who, you know, hardworking people who have insurance can actually access treatment now more than ever before. And if you have insurance and you have a child that's on your plan still, get them help. Be their advocate. At the same time, you don't condone what they do. You talk to them fair and square, honestly and openly, about the reality that you expect them to get help and to change their use of these substances and get well. So you've got to continue to love the person who has the illness, even while you hate the illness itself.
And it becomes a bit of an echo chamber when it comes to parents and grandparents. Again, this is personal experience, but I think it's a valuable anecdote. If you have someone in your life who's a peer to you, who's our age, William, who's gone through what you went through, who can tell them what they need to know and tell them how bad it gets and tell them how close you come to dying, it sometimes can be more valuable than hearing it from mom or dad.
Believe me, we did a survey at Hazel and Bayford back in about 2009, which found that most young people want their parents or their grandparents to be their number one source of accurate information when it comes to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
Right.
We, as the, you know, the greatest generation or the baby boomers, we owe it to our children and our grandchildren to talk openly and honestly about our own experiences, our own use of those substances. We owe it to our children so they can learn from what we know, which comes from age and wisdom and experience. And I'll tell you one other thing too, Steve. The marijuana of today's generation is very different than the marijuana of the 60s and the 70s, when most of us, unlike Bill Clinton, did inhale. The reality is that the THC levels, the toxicity, the potency of marijuana today is far more powerful than it was in the, quote, old days. And
right.
So just because we did it doesn't mean that it's okay for the next generation to do it. And we have to be able to talk to our children about that so that they can get an honest and accurate and complete picture of substance use in a way that will perhaps benefit them as they go through their own lives.
Yeah, if your kid's old enough to get stoned, your kid's old enough to hear you were an idiot and why you were an idiot and why you don't want them to be an idiot.
Well, you know, and the other thing, too, is just because children today or young people on college campuses in Illinois or Minnesota or wherever, you know, there's this sort of misnomer that everybody's drinking or everybody's taking drugs, but that's not true.
Yeah, it isn't true.
I mean, yes, there are a lot of people at a college football game or a Bears game on a Sunday afternoon, you know, who may be over-inviting. But the reality is that most people don't do that. And we need to talk to our children about the fact that you can have fun. You can grow up in a culture that does not include getting drunk or you know, getting stoned all the time. That there are actually ways to have fun responsibly and be sober.
Well, let's end the way we began with a congratulations to you on the life you're living and the fact that you're alive. I think it's a hell of an accomplishment, and it's a day-by-day thing, and I salute you today and tomorrow and every day. It's Know Your Chicago, at the UFC campus today. There's a lot of events today as a part of Know Your Chicago to make this city stronger, make this city better. A lot of good ideas. Just Google Know Your Chicago. You'll see the whole schedule. Thank you, William. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Steve.
And back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
6:44, Karen Conti joins us. You hear us Sunday nights with Noonan. That's 8 o'clock, isn't it, Karen?
It sure is. Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How's the Karen Conti law firm?
It's doing great. It's nice to be on my own. It really is.
Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
If you'd like to call me, I'm at 312-332-7800, or you can email me at kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
All right, we got a lot of stuff to go over here, so let me jump in. This creep from Stanford, Brock Turner, he rapes the unconscious woman by a dumpster. His father says this could really hurt his chance at the Olympics. I'm paraphrasing for speed here, but the fact of the matter is it was just a horrible situation by all accounts. The woman wrote an open letter in court talking about her dignity being stolen. I mean, she'll be affected for the rest of his life. He gets out in a very short period of time. Why should we accept this, or why is this okay?
Well, you know, it's one of those twists and turns of the legal justice system where we had a judge who probably had a right to do what he did, but used his discretion in a way that offends all of us, really. I mean, I don't know anyone who's not offended by it. You know, he's going to pay. He's a sex offender for life, and that is not an easy thing to do. Everywhere he goes, he's going to be registered. People are going to know where he's living. You know, it's like in his hometown, not that I feel sorry for him, but people are, have their guns out and they're telling him if he does anything wrong, you know, they've got their guns, they're intimidating him, and life is going to be difficult for him as well. It should. Hopefully he'll get the help he needs. I have my doubts. I have my doubts. If a man can do something like this, this is not about drunken behavior. This is about a sick sexual predator, and those people have a hard time changing. So we'll see what happens.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we've, you and I have talked about this many times, but I feel like it should be mentioned every time we talk about it. I know a lot of men. I am one. I don't know any man who thinks it's okay to sexually assault a woman because she's drunk or unconscious. I don't. There's nobody in my world. There's no male in my world who's ever told a hilarious story about having sex with a woman who was drunk. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to people I know. And it's not okay. And that's not, and the point I think women need to hear is that's not how normal men think.
Well, and the whole story somehow got twisted around to drinking in college. And again, that issue needs to be addressed.
But it has nothing to do with this issue.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, it has more to do with, let's say, a Bill Cosby issue, which is, you know, something we'll probably talk about today. But you know, you've got somebody who's got a desire to have sex with people who are not moving. I mean, that is something that is a sickness, and that is not having to do with anything other than a guy who just is wired incorrectly.
Karen, this sentence, though, this does not set any sort of a precedent, right? It's always up to each individual judge. So the next judge, God forbid, in a case like this, could throw the book at the suspect if he wants to or she wants to.
No, that is correct. You know, precedential value is more in terms of how laws are interpreted and things like that. But when it comes to sentencing, judges are given a lot of discretion. I mean, even in the federal system where we see there's guidelines and there's calculations as to how many years someone should get based upon how much money they stole or whatever, there's still some wiggle room for judges to say, I think this is a case where we should really, you know, hit him with this or hit him with that. So, no, fortunately for the world, this is not a precedent that's going to be set.
You mentioned Cosby. We'll come back, talk about that. We'll also talk about this 70-year-old woman who has been found / identified and what sort of legal case she has against that idiot Playboy model who took a picture of her changing while she was changing at a health club. And Roger Ailes, speaking of creeps, a lot of creeps and terrible people. Back to Karen Conti, attorney at law, attorney on the Steve Cochran Show. All right, Karen, so let's talk about Cosby. I understand the new trial date's going to be next June. Is that right?
That's correct.
That surprise you that it's that far away, or does that make sense legally?
It, there's a lot of legal issues here, Steve. You know, it's almost like a law school exam. I mean, you know, this is a case where there was a settlement. There was a plea bargain, not a plea bargain really, but it was a settlement between Cosby and the prosecutors years ago where they said, we're not going to prosecute you if you give a deposition in the civil case. And this is of a woman who, again, claimed that, you know, she was assaulted by Cosby after being drugged. And so he kind of thought he was off the hook, and now the new prosecutor in town says, no, we're going to prosecute you, Bill. There was no such deal. So that's the first argument. You know, did he settle, and did he have an expectation of making a deal with the prosecutor? The prosecutors have kind of said, you know, that was a different prosecutor, and now we have a different rule. We have a different agreement. There's also the question of whether all of these acts will come into play at the trial. And Steve, this is an interesting issue because everyone thinks, oh, the whole jury is going to hear about those 60 women who have had the same exact incident, and that's going to prove that he did it. But under the law, we really don't allow much of that evidence to come in for a number of reasons. But it kind of seems wrong not to put it in there, because wouldn't you want to know if someone did this over and over again? Wouldn't that make you likely to convict somebody? But the law is such that we're not sure if that is going to come in. So we've got a lot of legal issues, and the judges need to determine those things before we actually start the trial.
So he's gone blind as well. I believe that came from the judge himself, that he can no longer see. So please make up your own jokes at home. Look, this guy went from America's dad or grandfather to one of the worst human beings in America. And he may not survive to trial if his health is deteriorating at that rate. But justice will be served one way or another. What about justice in the case of this 70-year-old woman who's just getting dressed after a workout, trying to stay healthy, and this creep Playboy playmate takes a picture, tweets it out, and says, if I can't unsee this, you can't either. Is there anything legally that can happen to her?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know, ladies out there agree with me or not, does this totally offend you in a way that, I don't know, this just kind of just makes me angry.
Sick. it's nauseating.
Absolutely sick.
It's akin to sexting and shit body. Well, they call it body shaming. It's like revenge porn. It's like all those things together, but it's just something that could have been so easily not done. Yeah, she could be prosecuted under California has some really good laws about using images where there's an expectation of privacy. So if you're in the law specifies if you're in a fitting room or if you're in a bathroom, you have an expectation of privacy, and that if someone takes a picture of you, it's a crime. I don't really even see a defense to this because, you know, some people say, well, I accidentally took a picture. She intentionally took the picture and posted it with nasty, snarky comments. And, you know, I hope she does get convicted. It's probably only going to be a misdemeanor. She probably won't serve any time. She probably will have a small fine. But, you know, and she could be sued civilly. That's probably her worst nightmare, because this woman would have a really good lawsuit here.
And this is not some high school kid who did a jackass thing. Wouldn't this woman like 30-something?
Women are already self-conscious enough about their bodies. There's
just no excuse on any level for this kind of mean, mm-hmm. cruel, creepy behavior. And I just wish there was something bad that could happen to this woman, because I'm not that good a person, Karen.
Yeah, and I think the health club did a really good job. I mean, they already have rules in place. You are not to take pictures. You're not to record anything. Good for them. And they expelled her for life from all of their gyms. Good job. I think that's was the smart thing to do on their part.
The troubles at Fox continue. I don't have enough time to do this service, but in 60 seconds, tell me if Roger Ailes has any sort of legal issues beyond what the payments are and what they will continue to be. Rumor is he was stalling on paying, and Fox wants to get this behind him, so they wrote the check for $20 million to help me out.
Gretchen Carlson. If the amount of money is $20 million, that's an extraordinary settlement. I'm telling you, this is not just a symbolic settlement. This is a huge settlement. And my guess is you're right, Steve. Fox wrote the check and is now going to turn to Ailes and negotiate with him as to how much he should pay. Because as you recall, she did not sue Fox. She sued Ailes. Fox paid it, and I really think they're going to try to nail him for at least half of it, if not more. This is a really good day for harassment. I think there's an acknowledgement and an apology. I think this is all good. Now we have Greta Van Susteren, quitting. I don't know if it's related, but the timing is really interesting because it happened, I think, the day of the settlement. Yep. So let's see what she has to say down the line.
6:58 in the morning, Karen Conti. Phone number at your office is what?
312-332-7800.
And we're back with more of the Steve Cochran Show. 7 o'clock hour coming up. The Wang Dang Doodle is straight ahead.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
7:10, almost 7:11 now, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 728. Who knew? What a run. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Just saw young Michael Odell, who's not so young anymore, outside our window.
No, I know. Spike's son.
Yeah, who's
walking
just
by and waving.
Killing it in his career, and he's in town on business. Looking great.
Three kids.
Yeah.
Boys, I think.
Yeah, and apparently that's going to be the limit.
Yeah, he's apparently so.
I don't know, he made some scissors thing with his hand.
Yeah,
so.
He did.
Anyway, good morning, Spike, if you're listening. 312-981-7200, texters and phone calls as well. You know, I like to highlight cool things going on in the city because too many times all you hear is troubling news here and there. And there's a lot of good news about Chicago, and we ought to be talking more about it. So we welcome to the program Planning Commissioner David Reifman. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
We've got a new building going up, which is not news in Chicago necessarily, but this could provide how many jobs?
2,000 temporary construction jobs and 500 permanent jobs.
That's pretty great.
Yes, it's a great project for the city.
What's the building? Where is it?
This is a building called the Vista Tower. It's going to be the third tallest building in Chicago. It's located in the Lakeshore East area of Chicago, so east of Michigan Avenue off of Wacker Drive, designed by Chicago architect Jeannie Gang, the tallest building ever constructed by designed by a female architect.
Do you know Jeannie?
Yeah, I do. She's an Illini and was recognized as one of the Chicago Illini of the Year earlier this year. And she designed Aqua.
Is that right?
Beautiful Radisson blue. Yeah, it's a stunning building.
So she's pretty good.
She's phenomenal.
I understand she's the Mike Brady of Illini Architects.
You can say that, yeah.
And David, this building will be all residential, some business, multi-use?
No, it'll be multi-use. It'll be a 200-room hotel, a 5-star hotel, 400 residential units, represents almost $1 billion of investment in Chicago.
You know, the idea that the more cranes you see around the city, the better things are for the economy. Do you subscribe to that?
I do. I think Cranes in the Air represents confidence in Chicago, investment in our community, jobs in our community, investment in our tax base. So I'm a big subscriber to that theory.
So too many times again, and you know, look, I'm as guilty of this as anybody. We talk about the mess in Springfield, the cooperation that needs to happen between the city and Springfield and so on, but maybe we're painting a picture that isn't entirely fair?
I think that's right. I think we have many challenges as a city, but many accomplishments, and I think when you look, this building is representative of those positive trends. For example, Chicago has been ranked number one in U.S. foreign direct investment for the third straight year, according to statistics pulled by World Business Chicago, over $100 billion last year. We had over 50 million tourists last year in Chicago, again, one of three U.S. cities to exceed 50 million tourists. And then again, you look at our city as a global city, the kind of architecture that a project like this represents.
David, I think, maybe I'm biased, but I think we have the most beautiful skyline.
That's not bias. That's fact, baby.
That's right. The most beautiful skyline in the world. Is it easier now to build a building, whether it be condos or for just industrial use? Has the process gotten easier?
I think it has. I think Mayor Emanuel is committed to making that process easier, understanding that it's very important that we encourage investment and we make that occur. I think that was part of the decisions he made recently, especially in terms of reorganizing the planning department, which I'm the commissioner of, and the building department with Commissioner Friedland. And I think the development community has recognized that the process has become much more user-friendly.
What's a planning commissioner do? I mean, what is your day?
My day is filled with meetings and issues. Generally, my department oversees the city's role in all housing matters, in all economic development matters, and in all land use and zoning matters. So we're focused on numerous, whether it's individual projects or land parcels. We have projects like the old post office, which has been in the news quite a bit. The 62-acre site at Roosevelt Road. We're in the process of going through our industrial modernization program to look at our planned manufacturing districts and making sure we get the most out of those as job-creating centers in a new 21st century economy. In addition, we focus on things like the Obama Presidential Center coming here. I have meeting after meeting after meeting.
Right, and your head hasn't exploded. So are you able to locally focus while you think of the overall big picture of what's right for the city?
My job is to really focus on that development perspective, and that's what I spend my days doing, whether it's meeting with potential developers, out-of-town developers, community groups, political and community leaders, all of
it's a lot of planning.
Yeah.
It's a lot of planning. Do you plan anything in your personal life? Like you go home and somebody wants to have a barbecue, you go, you make a decision.
Very few things these days. Yeah. I'm too focused on my job.
Yeah.
Is it harder for a building to be deemed a landmark building?
By the way, you're sitting in one, as
yeah,
you know.
Tribune Tower.
Well, yes, I'm aware of that. I think that we try to be very smart about our use of landmark designations, really reserving it for the best of the best. We want to see things preserved. We encourage landmark designation where that's appropriate. It also has various benefits in terms of tax classification and the ability to access historic tax credits. So used properly, I think landmarks is one of our very important tools.
You can pitch the ideas for landmarks all the time?
Yes, and there are many people to remind me of buildings that should be landmarks to the extent that I don't personally figure it out myself.
Appreciate your service to the city.
Thank
you for being here today. Congratulations on the building. What happens today?
There's a groundbreaking with Mayor Emanuel at noon today on the site, and they start construction. Building will be ongoing and ready to go in 2019.
Everybody hired yet, or are there still jobs out there to be had?
I'm sure they've picked their general contractor. I'm sure there's a lot of hiring still to be done on a project of this magnitude.
Poke around the city's website. I'm sure you can find out more if you're
sure.
Of that like.
Cityofchicago.org.
Nice to see you, and thanks for being here. David Reifman.
Thank you for having me.
City Planning Commissioner, 717. We'll try to make football picks without punching each other next.
Welcome to the 2016 Wang Dang Doodle. The do cares versus the don't cares. Let's get it on.
That's the commissioner, Orion Samuelson. This is a problem when you take a day off, Mary Vandeveld. We make decisions without you.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
It's the do cares versus the don't cares. Let me introduce the captains. The captain of the do care team, Dave Ennett. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
It's quite an honor, I would think, in your career.
I'm very honored. This is probably the high point of my career.
Yeah.
Go
Cats. I would doubt that. Dave is the captain of the do cares because Dave has been the sports director of this station and an icon in Chicago sports since 1844.
I thought it was longer than that.
No.
Give him his just due.
Well, 43.
Yeah.
The captain of the don't cares is Mary Vandeveld. Let's give her a hand.
So I was just nominated when I was gone. Is that what happened? You all voted for me? Thank you.
I think based on your crankiness, the captain of the don't cares seemed obvious.
Oh.
Sandberg, would you introduce the members of the do care team?
Ann, your mother.
Standing by. My mom standing
all right,
by.
Ann.
Andrea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, me.
Dave Ennett, the captain.
Yes.
All right, Dave.
Mike Jacobson.
Right.
All right,
Mike. Sports guru.
And Steve Cochran.
Yeah, I don't
right,
know who he
Steve.
Is.
Host of the show.
Big loser. Captain of the Don't Cares, who was introduced as Mary. Who's on Mary's team?
Myself.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. Krzanich.
Mm-hmm.
Bennett. Wake Knight.
Where yes. is Krzanich?
And John DeCoss.
I think the ultimate form of don't care is to not show up for the pick.
I was going to say, is right. anybody Steve. On your team here?
Yeah, so here's how
John's
this is going to work.
Here. Mary? Steve's not here.
Don't worry about the scoring. The scoring will take care of itself. We're not going to get into a big, long explanation of this. Maybe we will later in the show.
So if you mention food, I'm here immediately.
There you go. Just assume there's food. But the scoring will take care of itself. But we're going to go through these picks in order, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to make a pick of one quarterback and predict the score in one game. If a quarterback has been selected, nobody else can take your quarterback this week. If a game has been selected, you have to pick a different game. Are there any questions?
Mm-mm. Yes.
Yeah, who's playing this weekend?
I just have one. It's a really simple question.
NFL.com.
Really simple question. Let's yes. say you pick a game. Let's yes. say I pick.
I'll be honest. I wasn't expecting you to have the question, but go ahead.
Houston, let's just say Houston beats the Bears 20-10.
Houston beats the Bears 20-10.
And you picked the Bears to win by that same margin. So do you get anything from
what's
margin?
The actual score?
Let's say it's 20-10, but the other way. Let's say, in other words,
well, then I would win because I predicted the accurate score.
So the accurate score, regardless of who wins,
Before
the team, regardless of the team, okay, the differential.
Forget it. We'll talk about it later.
Can we have a new captain? I'm nominating Ann to replace Dave as our captain.
Let's go to Ann. Mom's standing by on the phone.
All right, Ann.
We didn't even get out of the gate, Mom.
Thanks for including me in this humiliating endeavor.
I need right, you, Ann.
Mom, I don't know if you have any other questions as confusing as Dave's, but are you ready to make your pick?
I am ready.
All right, whenever you're ready.
First?
You are quarterback. First. You're quarterback. First. Quarterback first.
Okie doke. Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck. Indianapolis Colts now off the board. Which game will you be choosing?
Steelers and Redskins.
And your final score?
20-10.
Who's winning?
Steelers
20-10. See, Mom, Dave, that's how you make a pick. Mom jumped right in.
Good pick.
Now, right. You don't. Your game, the win game, doesn't have to be the same score game, I thought.
The what game?
When you're picking your win or loss, it can be a different game than the score.
Right.
She happens to be picking Steelers, Redskins, score, right. And win-loss.
Well, the score would be a winner or loss because you have to pick a winner in the score.
I think it's got to be the same.
Is this the wing, the dang, or the doodle part?
This would be the doodle part.
Okay, I got it.
All right, cool.
All right, cool.
Andre, you're next.
I am going with my quarterback, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton from the Carolina Panthers. They'd be playing tomorrow night, by the way.
And I'm picking the Bears-Texans game.
Uh-huh. What, and the score?
Bears are going to lose 21-10, sorry.
21-10 Houston.
Yeah.
All right, ding, ding, ding. Moving on, Captain Edit.
Wait a minute, yeah. Did your whole team get to pick first?
Yes, and that's the way it's going to go all season because, see, you're the don't cares.
Well, the captain of the don't cares, you get to pick first.
No, because you're the don't cares, you don't care when you pick, and you're not even paying attention during the segment.
This stinks.
You can file a formal protest with the commissioner later on. By the way, all those go through Gloria. All right, Dave, who's your quarterback?
My quarterback is Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks, and which game?
I'm picking his game, as a matter of fact. Seattle 31, Miami 17.
Seattle 31, Miami 17. Why am I sounding like I'm really interested in that? I'm just not that interested at all.
You're on the Duke cares.
Let's go to...
Woo! Is that Orion?
Let's go to Mike Jacobson. Mike, who you got?
Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback.
He's just picking that because his girlfriend is a Packer.
Well, Mary, you know, I'm on the part of the Duke care team here, so just let me.
Yeah, you made the rules, too.
Because, you know, I'm really just trying to have fun. My game is the Giants and Cowboys. Giants win 27-10.
Giants 27-10.
Good pick.
And the final pick of the Duke cares? You. Well, that would be me, wouldn't it?
Yes, all right, Stevie C.
I will go with Drew Brees.
I knew it. Those are the 5 quarterbacks.
Drew Brees, well, the good news for you is you're not picking for a while.
See, you already ruined my experience. I just got back from vacation.
Full of mosquito bites.
We hit a coyote. We hit a coyote.
I got to be honest, Mary. I really like Jake's impression of you.
I do, too. It's kind of funny.
All right, I'm picking Drew Brees. I'm also picking that game. And I'm picking, this is in honor of my mother. This New Orleans is her favorite city. I'm picking New Orleans over the Oakland Raiders. Mm-hmm. Final score, 34-14.
Good pick.
Oh, I love our team picks.
Blowout.
Good pick.
Go team.
And now we'll take a break of undetermined status until we get to the don't cares.
There's no quarterbacks left.
Yeah, the don't cares will come up later in the show because clearly they don't care. Mom, any final thoughts?
Even figure out how you're going to score this.
Yes,
this is impossible.
I just wish you could see the looks on Sandberg and Ennett's face when they go, "What the hell are we doing now? What are we doing?" It's great in my
Bye,
head.
Ann.
All right, hold on, Mom. Give my mom something for calling in and put a different name on it so people don't know I'm fixing her contest here.
I want Ann on my team.
Ann Smith.
Yeah.
Why can't she be on my team?
Because she cares.
I'm trading her.
She clearly cares. All right, we'll fight about this off the air. Later on in the show, the don't care team will pick. Might not even get on the air. But at 728, we're back after this with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Woo! 748, Captain Vandeveld. I think we'll go with the don't care team picks at 920. Does that work for you?
Well, it's a little late in the game.
I don't really care.
But okay, fine.
That's funny.
Wait, was that Mary or Jake?
It was Steve and Mary.
It was Steve's.
Yeah. Where's Ryan? I really wanted to do it at 8:20.
Is that going to be the doodle part of it?
Can we bring back Ryan Lochte?
You want him on your team?
No, I want him to play the role of me playing the role of Mike.
I don't know. I think Jake's impression is pretty good. All right, it's 7:41. You may have heard, and if you haven't, you're not paying that much attention, but in the past couple of weeks, there's been an awful lot, 3 weeks, I suppose, there's been an awful lot of Obamacare / Affordable Care Act news. The advocate folks are getting it done and getting it done right, but let's start first by introducing the guest, Chief Medical Officer Lee Sachs in studio. Thanks for getting up and coming in. How are you?
I'm fine, Steve. Good morning.
Where would you be at this hour if you weren't here?
I'd be getting into my office in Downers Grove.
Really? You go in this early?
Yes, we
do. Look at you, Mr. Dedicated. Congratulations to everybody at Advocate.
Thank you. And it really is a team effort.
There is a savings for taxpayers based on the work of the Advocate team of $72 million. Do the math for me. How did that add up?
We were responsible for approximately 150,000 Medicare patients in 2015, and we reduced the cost of care by just under $100 per patient per year. And that leads to savings for Medicare of $72 million.
It sort of reminds me of, you know, people go, I can't lose weight, I can't lose weight. And then you go, well, if I cut out one thing in a given day, because in the course of an average medical bill, $100 isn't that much. But figuring out how to cut 100 from every patient, that's a big deal. It adds up.
It absolutely does. And it's something that's really important for the future success, both of Medicare and our health insurance system.
And going forward, the obvious question to me is, why isn't everybody doing this?
Because traditionally, hospitals and doctors get paid for doing things, for taking care of sick people. We made a strategic decision 6 years ago that we're going to focus on creating value, providing better care, a better patient experience at a lower total cost of care. And sometimes that means doing things that take away revenue.
Does the... And look, I am a critic and a fan of Obamacare. I think there's some great things in Obamacare. I think as a whole, the bill needs to be redone in a more streamlined way. But there's certainly no reason to blow the whole bill up, especially when nobody has a better idea. Having said that, did the coming clouds over Obamacare spur you guys on to do this, or was it just the nature where the business was?
You know, it was two things. The healthcare is too expensive, and we know it's stifling the U.S. economy in terms of being able to compete globally. And then the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare in 2010 really said that we're serious. We have to get started.
Lee, why are copays and deductibles higher than they've ever been? And will there be any relief in the coming years? Because all we've heard now is, well, they're going up, they're going up, they're going up. Will we ever see relief from these?
So over the last probably 8 to 10 years, employers and the government have pushed more financial responsibility to patients and hence higher copays and deductibles. It does lead patients to ask important questions. What's this going to cost? What's the value? Is this really necessary? We need to find the middle ground where it's not going to stifle care. Now, one of the things in the Affordable Care Act is that preventative services have no copays or deductibles. So we're not keeping people from getting their annual checkup or important screening like a colonoscopy or a mammography.
What's the responsibility of the patient in this chain? Because, you know, when you have insurance that traditionally has covered the majority of it and you don't really understand what's going on, regardless of the severity of your health concern, you're probably not going to break it down with the doctor or the business office and go, okay, what am I paying for and how much am I paying for it?
No, you're absolutely right, Steve. And it's always been very confusing, but unless patients take that individual responsibility, both for their own health, for their health habits, and for being prudent consumers like we do on everything else, we're not going to solve the issue of healthcare inflation.
Because there has to be some pressure on somebody to make it part of their agenda.
Right. If you could buy a high-end luxury car for the same price as an old beater, what would you do?
Right, right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I found myself in a situation earlier this year having to take a test and did not shop around, and then everybody now is saying, in this day and age, you need to shop around, whether it's an MRI, an X-ray, whatever you need to get, you should look around now.
It's not just shopping around. It's asking the question, how is this going to change my care or change my treatment? That's something that I used to ask myself before I'd order diagnostics for a patient. And if the answer is it doesn't make a difference, then why are we doing it?
As a doctor, are you offended if somebody says I'm going to shop around?
I think we've all learned that that's important to help create that engagement for your patients.
Is it on doctors, and is there a responsibility for doctors to say to patients, I'm not sure that you shouldn't shop around and take a look at other places for this?
Well, I think...
Or if you choose to, this is something you ought to consider.
One of the things that we've tried to do within our Advocate Healthcare Network is help the physicians have a sense of what the costs are and be prudent. Now, there's trade-offs. Having diagnostics or care done within the network where it's integrated, where it's all part of one electronic record, has some value, and it may not be the absolute lowest unit price.
So the deal is you go in for an exam. There's a diagnosis that you're going to need some further tests. And as a patient, I need to look you, the doctor, in the eye and go, okay, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Who do I talk to about how much this is going to cost? Because it's not you. It's somebody in your office that would deal with that end of it.
Those are the right questions. And you know what? That means the patient's going to be much more likely to follow the treatment plan because they're thinking it through and having a better understanding of why it's going to be important for them.
You're the least popular guy at Advocate now that you took $70 million off the table?
You'll have to go out and survey the office. But I think we all feel very excited about the fact that we bent the cost curve and that there's a real future for a high-quality, successful healthcare system.
There's a frustration, I think, for a lot of folks that go, well, I got a lot of things to think about. Why do I need to think about this? Is there any hope for simplification of the billing system? And to me, it really comes down to the medical coding, right? The coding is where it gets incredibly confusing and why our medical bill. I go in for a cold, I get a 75-page explanation of benefits.
Yeah, and it's confusing for physicians. It's frustrating. When I started in practice, you just wrote down $10 or $12
right.
with no codes,
right.
And now you need a book that's yay high to sort it through. With some of the more streamlined benefit plans like Medicare Advantage, where individuals don't have to go through an explanation of benefits and pay for each service, it frees up a big administrative burden.
Well, congratulations to all of you at Advocate.
Thank you.
I think it's a big deal. Have you gotten calls from your peers and said, exactly what did you do to get to this number, or are you going to do it again next year?
One, as soon as we saw the results, we looked at each other and said, boy, the bar's high for next year.
Right.
We have gotten a lot of calls from across the country saying, could you share some insights? Are we doing the right thing? There's a lot of organizations, but it really it calls for total transformation, disrupting the current system.
Is it easier or harder with the consolidation of hospitals? You know, with companies owning many hospitals, it would seem that you could go down the wrong path and go, well, we can charge what we want. This is a responsibility of going down the right path and saying we're going to use the power we have of size and do the right thing.
No, the latter is absolutely correct. And one of the things that we're looking forward to is to have true broad geographic coverage. Our upcoming merger with North Shore University adds a key missing piece geographically so that we can offer our product directly to employers through a partner with insurance companies, get the benefit of our high-quality, low-cost care.
And last question, as a doctor who does this as well, what's your one wish that you wish insurance companies would do more to help the cost structure?
Administrative simplification. I think that we're spending more and more money in the back office and things that don't directly impact patients, and that's not the way the system should be going.
Make our paperwork life easier, paperwork meaning digital as well, and maybe the cost can be brought down even farther?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How many hours were you spending on paperwork when you got into the business? Like when you first went into practice?
Oh, probably a couple hours a day out of a 15-hour day.
What's an average doctor spend now?
Oh, I think they would tell you they're spending at least half their time on paperwork.
Yeah, unbelievable. Which is part and parcel to why patients are getting 10-minute visits.
Right.
You can't spend a lot of time.
It becomes very frustrating.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Congratulations to everybody at Advocate. AdvocateHealth.com if you'd like to see the report. It's AdvocateHealth.com/ValueReport. So congratulations. Keep it up.
Will do.
110 next year.
All right. I'll traffic. Be back.
. 7:54, Steve Cochran Show continues. Hillary Clinton sat down with David Muir from ABC News last night. By the way, how old is David Muir? 17, 18?
I love David Muir. I usually watch him every night. He's probably 40.
Something about him that doesn't sit with me.
I just love him. He has good questions.
I think Lester Holt's killing it. Lester Holt's doing a great job on NBC.
Local guy. He's okay. Yeah. I love David Muir, though.
You know where Brian Williams is now, right?
42, by the way, David Muir. Now, where is Brian Williams now?
Witness Protection Program. Yeah, no, he does primetime on MSNBC.
Oh, does he?
Which is a demotion. They're basically burning off his $5 million a year contract, and then they'll ship him out.
Mm-hmm.
So
David Muir's doing great.
Now, he's on MSNBC.
Yeah.
He claims he's still doing the news on NBC. Because you know Brian, he'll say anything.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's Hillary last night with David Muir talking about Trump and his great Mexican hacienda trip.
What happened is what we call a diplomatic incident, because he came out saying one thing and the Mexican president contradicted him almost immediately. So it is clear that he went down with a mission. It's been the mission of his whole campaign from the very first day. To demonize immigrants, to call Mexicans rapists and criminals, to do everything he could to stir up all kinds of bad feelings about hardworking people. And he didn't raise it, so he did choke.
Meanwhile, Andrea's boyfriend David Muir then went across the hall and sat down with Donald Trump and asked about the whole choke thing.
So let me just tell you about choking. I don't choke. She chokes. Look at the deal she's made. She's responsible for so many bad things that have happened to our country, including the signing by her husband of NAFTA, which has drained our country of its jobs. I've been given A+, including by you people, but I've been given A+ for the job I did in Mexico. And the fact is, Mexico will pay for the wall. It was discussed that it wouldn't be discussed, but they know my stance, and I know their stance.
They're 12 years old. You're a choker. No, you're a choker.
How about
you're
that?
You're a choker. You're a choker.
Did you notice during the interview? So I saw it last night, and I just heard it again, obviously, because you played
the heavy
it.
Heavy breathing?
That's Pence.
Yeah, that's Pence. That's exactly
Governor Pence. Pence was sitting next to him, but Trump and Muir were talking, and you just heard this.
Pence is like Trump's wind-up monkey. You know, if you ask Pence anything, he'll just go, very honored to be running with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Very honored to be running with Donald Trump. He's got, what was the doll where you'd pull the ring with a string?
Oh, yeah. The little, and then they would talk like a little puppet.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it was on a bunch of things.
The
see
talking.
And says and different things,
yeah,
right? Yeah. That's Mike Pence. He just got to find his ring.
But when Pence tried to jump in, Trump kind of gives him the, gives him the hand.
Daddy's talking. You know what this comes down to? It comes down to the threat of cyber technology. I wonder how Trump would put that.
To stay on ISIS a little bit, because this is a really, I think this is an important topic, and it's certainly at the, it's one of the national security threats that our country faces today. You have described at times different components of a strategy, military, cyber, financial, and ideological. Can you just expand on those four a little bit?
Well, that's it. And, you know, cyber is becoming so big today. It's becoming something that a short number of years ago, wasn't even a word. And now the cyber is so big. And, you know, you look at what they're doing with the internet.
Shut him off. Shut him off. For the sake of him, shut him off. The cyber is becoming so big. You know where he picked that up? On the Hulu. He was watching the Hulu, and he realized the cyber was getting really big.
After going to the Jewel and playing on the internet.
It's a zoo. It's just
it
a
is.
Zoo.
And did you, at the very end of the interview, Dave Muir said to Trump, so, you know, he pressed him about the tax returns, and he gave the obligatory, well, once the audit's done, I'll release. But he said, what about the rest of your medical records? And Trump said, you know, I just might do that. Maybe I'll do that this week. So Muir's people called him after the interview, and they said, oh, we'll keep you updated.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
We'll let you know, because I'll say anything. Just to end the interview. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton still has to explain 50 or 60 lies of the past couple of weeks, but her coughing seems to have calmed down. Newt Gingrich tried to make a point on her coughing last night. Let's see how that went.
It's a little disturbing, partly because she has to have access to the best doctors in the world.
And I would think that they would be working very hard to find some way to cope with this, depending on what's causing it. I also think you're right that, the discipline of the script has helped.
Now you sound like Hillary. Can I get you a drink of water or anything? By the way, yours didn't last 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Thank God. I mean,
I'm in good shape. At least I'm in better shape than Hillary. I'm a little bit like you in that.
Isn't there something highly amusing about that?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
It is 8:13. Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
What's the matter?
I'm sick about Taylor Swift.
You mean about the Tom Hiddleston breakup?
The Hiddle Swift tragedy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, an anxious nation awaits your knowledge on this.
I don't know if I can, sometimes you just...
too close to the story?
Sometimes you just, it's too hard.
Dean, don't worry. She'll be on to boyfriend number 45 soon.
I think, Dean, the best thing you can do is to tell others about this to warn us of the pending Taylor Swift plague.
Do we need to build a wall around Taylor Swift?
That could be a useful wall. She does have a lot of boys. A lot of boys. But you know what? Why not? Why not?
Ah, she's young.
Yeah, good for her.
I'm so happy about this. I love him, and she is just annoying me.
Why is she annoying? She's delightful.
She's just annoying.
She is annoying.
Oh, she's delightful.
Annoying. She dates everything that has a pulse.
Exactly.
Sorry, Dean.
Listen to the two women. She's a big check writer. She's a first person to step up and help out causes.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. She's constantly, I don't know. There's just something about her that just annoys the heck out of me.
I'm worried about poor Tom Hiddleston. Now, he's got 7 or 8 I Love TS tank tops that he's been wearing.
Did he get a tattoo?
No, he didn't get a tattoo.
Oh, okay.
But they were
frosted. Because I did. I got a Hiddle Swift tattoo.
No, that was on The Bachelorette.
That's what all the ex-Taylor Swift boyfriends should do, get a tattoo with the start date and the end date.
So he should have an expiration date on him?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift puts a stamp on her boyfriend's best if used by.
Right. Yeah, like a loaf of bread. Haters gonna hate. All right, let me go down a list, and you can tell me which of the following were not Taylor Swift boyfriends.
Wolf Blitzer.
Joe Jonas.
Joe Jonas was.
Lucas Till.
Who's Lucas Till?
I'm not even really sure.
He was not. Say yes.
He was not.
Okay.
Taylor Lautner.
He was.
Definitely yes.
John Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm thinking they're all yes. So yes.
Everybody's dated him, too.
Corey Monteith.
Yeah, that was a surprising one. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Pre-Lea and Michelle.
Yes. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, really?
Oh, yes.
Eddie Redmayne.
Really?
No.
Pre-Danish Girl.
I don't remember that at all.
They traded clothes.
Right.
Connor Kennedy.
Again, I don't know who that is.
He was
one of the Kennedys.
Yeah, one of the young Kennedy.
Definitely, yes.
He was the Kennedy known as
Connor. Oh, yeah, she went to visit the family.
Yes.
Remember that whole thing?
Yes. She got a place in Rhode Island based on all
right
that.
By him.
Harry.
When she buys a house near a boyfriend, does she just keep it or does she sell it?
This she one, makes him buy it.
I think she kept this one.
Okay.
Harry Styles.
Mm. Yep.
She loves her. She loves her Brits.
Yeah.
Calvin
Prince
Harris.
Charles. Yep.
Professor Irwin Corey. Grandparents can explain to your kids who that is. Calvin Harris.
Of course,
He was the most recent. Well, now the second most
And then
recent.
The Hiddle.
And then Hiddle D.D.
That's not an excessive number of boyfriends for a woman her age.
Oh, those are just the ones
what?
We know about.
It's like 15.
Three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah,
that's 11.
11 in a 2-year period. Steve,
no, that's
kind
11
of a lot.
Guys over the course of. I mean, I don't know. I know women that have had that much in a weekend. 11 guys.
Oh, no.
Well, 11 maybe, guys over how
maybe
long?
You need to find a little better.
Find new friends. Creative,
yeah.
11 guys over how long? How old is she? 25, right? 26?
I don't think she's that old. I'm looking it up.
I'm not like you haters.
That's what she does. Shake them off.
Who will the Black Widow have in her sights next? I didn't see her go after Trump.
Hey, I just wish those kids, the happiest futures. Apparently, it was Taylor who broke this off. That Tom Hiddleston wanted to be more public with the relationship. He wanted to show his affection for her and not constantly be hiding.
Why were they hiding? They weren't hiding. Everybody
well,
knew they
were
going
all
on.
Over the people.
Apparently, Tom wanted more. He wanted
to do it on a beach.
He wanted to do even more. And apparently that was, according to Us Weekly, who have, they've confirmed with
the New York Times of Entertainment News,
multiple,
Us Weekly.
Multiple sources are confirming to them that all of this is true. So that is the latest new national nightmare.
Unlike you three, I think she's very talented and very generous.
I think she's very talented and generous also.
She is a tramp.
But she's annoying.
She is generous and she is talented.
Why do you find her annoying?
I don't know. I just do.
Do you find Anne Hathaway annoying?
Anne Hathaway? What brought that up?
She's considered the most annoying woman in Hollywood.
She's very pale.
I think Natalie Portman's a little more annoying.
Really?
Yeah, those three kind of all fit in the same. I don't know what it is. Annoyingness level.
Did you say she's pale?
Yeah, Anne Hathaway.
Why
she's annoying?
No, who's the one that Andre doesn't like because she's so pale?
Oh, Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Getting in the mind of a female would be like a broken Six Flags ride.
I'm stuck going up the hill. I can't get this thing to go down.
So much easier to be a dude. All right, so anyway, Tom Hiddleston is available, ladies.
Hiddleston is over.
He's available and he needs some comforting.
Cute. He is very cute.
He's very nice. I honestly did not understand this relationship at all. He's considerably older than her.
What are you doing joining the cat fight?
Because I've never met Taylor Swift, and as you say, unbelievably talented, unbelievably generous. No question about that.
Right.
But she does have this track record. And I have interviewed and met Tom Hiddleston many times. It's very, very nice. Really, like, head on straight. I never understood why he was so head over heels here.
Well, let me give you some
Seems like his bar would have been set a little higher.
Well, let me give you the great romantic advice that I follow from Woody Allen. The heart wants what it wants. I think Woody said that right after he started dating his daughter.
Stepdaughter.
Oh, stepdaughter. That's probably important clarification. That really cleans it up.
That makes it much better.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
8:25 now. We continue. All right, we got a lot of show business news to get here, Dean.
Yes, we do.
America's waiting for this information as well. The Jersey Boys has been on Broadway 10 minutes longer than Cats. It's finally closing.
After 11 years. Isn't that amazing that there's been a show continuously running for 11 years on Broadway? That makes it the 12th most successful show in Broadway history. Swan Song is going to be January the 15th. Dancing with the Stars' Mark Ballas is going to be the final Frankie Valli in the production.
By the way, we have a pair of tickets to Leonard Bernstein's Wonderful Town at the Goodman Theater September 10th through the 16th. Dean, I don't know if you know, but two young sisters leave small-town Ohio to make it big in New York City.
Yep.
And to find adventure and romance beyond their wildest dreams, you can get tickets at goodmantheater.org or call 312-443-3800. We have a pair available to call your 10 tickets? We have 1,000 tickets to give away? Caller 10 at 312-981-7200. We have a pair of tickets.
You're going to take caller 1,000.
Sandberg was giving me hand signals, and I was freaking her out because I kept upping the ante. We have 1,000 tickets to give away?
Zayn Malik is in the news.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Honestly, this is the only thing that's making my day because I'm so sad about Taylor Swift, is that Zayn Malik is going to be producing a drama for NBC. Because when you think dramas on television, you think former One Direction singer.
This is the kid that left One Direction and didn't really say why.
Well, he went to be on his own, Steve. You can't keep a bird in a cage. You got to let him spread his wings.
He called McLean Stevenson from MASH and said, "Is this a good time to leave?"
That's right. Yeah. Right. So he left the band. Now he's going to be...
How about that reference, by the way?
Right. Again, ask your grandparents. If you don't know who McLean Stevenson is, ask your grandparents.
Just when I think I'm still a little bit hip.
Nope, not so much. Right. Right. We've got some Charles Groban references. I saw him on Johnny Carson the other night.
He's so...
So this new series is going to be called Boys... and it's going to be about a super group, wildly successful boy band.
Uh-huh.
Steve, not only showing the highs, but also the lows.
You mean like when you can't get caviar in the dressing room, that kind of thing?
Right, right. When there aren't enough groupies waiting outside on the street that you can pick from, like a supermarket checkout. Zayn says the opportunity to work on this compelling drama is awesome.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. Yeah, totally. Cosby's trial next when? June?
I was still thinking about McLean Stevenson.
You know what's funny about that reference? I couldn't even think of the woman from Cheers who also left too early.
Yeah, Shelley Long.
There you go.
Shelley Long.
Yeah. At least she was on Modern Family. That would have gotten me somehow into the early 2000s.
Yeah, McLean Stevenson, that was pretty much it when he left Hello, Larry. Was he on anything after Hello, Larry?
No, I can't remember. I think he died right after Hello, Larry got canceled.
So Bill Cosby's...
That's how it works, kids. Your show gets canceled, you die.
Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial yesterday, they set a date. It's going to be next June. He's accused of drugging and having sex with a woman at his suburban home back in 2004. Commenting on this whole thing, Cosby's a lawyer... Yesterday says that Cosby is the victim of racial bias and prejudice.
Totally. Yeah, that's why the 700 women who all have variations on the same story have come forward, because they're racist. Good God.
That this case doesn't have a chance, Steve, because it's already played out in the court of public opinion.
I said this earlier when Karen Conti was on. He may die before this goes to trial. His health has apparently gotten dramatically worse.
Apparently they say he's blind now.
Yeah, and this isn't until next June. Yeah. So, you know, he'll deal with justice at some point. Britney Spears threatening to sue who?
In Touch magazine. They have
they're like, the New York Times of entertainment news, aren't they?
They are sort of the Oshkosh, Wisconsin Times of entertainment news, in my opinion.
Okay.
There are pretty frequent lawsuits against them for things that they publish. This time, Britney Spears is threatening to sue them, warning them to not publish a story that they're planning about her acting erratically at the VMA Awards that took place last month. Spears' representatives say the story is utterly false.
Wait, now, hold on a second. If you were at the Video Music Awards, the VMAs, wouldn't not acting erratically be a bigger story?
Everybody
backstage should be acting erratically.
That's a very good point. If you're acting normally, with complete decorum, you shouldn't. They'd kick you out of there.
Right.
Yeah, they kick you out of there. If you're not, like, if you don't vomit on your own shoes right before you go on stage.
If your hair's not 19 colors.
Yeah.
If you don't have people to bring you a tissue that you're paying wages to.
Before they let most of the people on stage, they actually check to make sure that they have at least 57 piercings and tattoos.
Exactly.
If you don't have 57, like Heinz 57, they don't let you on stage at that show. So that's actually a very good point.
That would be my defense if I was Britney Spears. Of course I was acting erratically. I'm at the VMA.
Well, she is denying it and saying it's utterly false.
Yeah.
So, no comment from In Touch magazine, but I'm sure they'll have some great story about it.
Sadly, we don't have time for the Ozfest news. What is Ozfest?
Ozfest is the big music festival that Chicago's own Common has put on
for the last
4 or 5 years. Yeah. It's actually a really fun music festival. It benefits his charitable organization Common Ground. the Donda House, which works with young aspiring artists. It's going to be September 24th and 25th. Steve, one of your favorite hip-hop bands, J. Cole, will be headlining this year, along with Sir the Baptist and Vic Mensa.
You know what I like about J. Cole? It could either be a rapper, a hip-hop group, or an HVAC company. Hey, time to get your furnace check. Call J. Cole.
McLean Stevenson does.
Not anymore.
All right, buddy.
Matter of fact, McLean Stevenson is J. Cole right now.
Not since 1996.
Is that when he died? 1996?
Yes. Oh, okay. Look at you with the research.
Me with the Googles.
Look at you with the iron trap memory.
Thanks,
by the way,
Steve.
Dean and I will be having more Country Time Lemonade at 10 and bringing up things from the past that you don't know.
You guys are like the two guys sitting on the porch.
Yeah.
Steve, which Lassie did you like best?
And we'll be stopping people that come through the neighborhood to give them advice on something they don't want to hear about. Hey, come over here. Let me tell you how you're living your life wrong.
We're the two guys on the balcony on the Muppet Show.
That's us. You know what? That's what the segment's turning into.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Exactly right.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah, Steve Cochran Show all-time top 10. That's currently number one. I don't do karaoke, but if I did, that would be my go-to. You know why? Because I get up every morning with the alarm clock's warning, take the 8:15 into the city, which is not great because the show starts at 6. Steve Burness is here from the Better Business Bureau. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Steve puts on his cape and goes out and tries to save you from yourself with Better Business Bureau tips and tricks. And really, they're not so much tricks as just wise advice to pay attention. All right, so the Zika virus is an awful, awful, awful thing.
Right.
But there are people out there scamming people on this as well.
It started already. The companies started already trying, touting that they have a cure for or prevention for the disease. And the New York Attorney General took action against 7 companies recently, ordering them a cease and desist of that. So anybody that promises you something about the Zika virus from an organization other than the Center for Disease Control, I would not... trust that source at all.
Again, if people are calling you and asking for money, I don't know what circumstance that makes sense. I guess a collection agency maybe, but then you would know if you haven't paid your bill.
Exactly. People try to collect money or just call you to try to get money from you. So that's a lot of scam artists do, is they call you out of blue. And sometimes it's that big scam still going on, is the IRS scam, where they say that you're going to jail in 30 minutes. Or you're going to be deported if you don't pay us in 30 minutes. So a lot of telemarketing fraud is done on the phone, but there's a lot more done on the internet today.
Actually, the only time I'm going to be deported is if Trump wins. Trump wins and that call comes in, it'll be from him.
You're gone.
You're gone.
There's still, right away.
There's still
a lot of door-to-door, though, too. I mean, with Zika, I'm sure probably landscapers are coming to the door saying, oh, yeah, we'll obliterate all the mosquitoes or try to scam just homeowners.
There's a lot of door-to-door issues as well, and especially with fall coming. Obviously, heating contractors will be coming as well. Is this obviously checking them out and getting, if you're doing work in your house or business, you always want to get 2 or 3 estimates anyway. So it's amazing that people open their door to strangers and give them their money and pay it all up front without doing any homework on them. A lot of the cities have warned consumers or residents not to open their doors, especially if they're from the allegedly from the the Commonwealth Edison or People's Gas. You got to verify before you let them into their house, because sometimes they'll take you out to the yard. And then the next person, they'll come in and rob your house while you guys are out in the yard.
I followed a guy out. A guy came to my door because I had some roofing contractors doing an estimate. And literally, like, roaches that show up in your house, I suppose, when the lights come on. A guy comes up to the door maybe an hour later and talks about insurance, and how he can save money. And
hail damage.
Hail damage and all that. And I go, who are you with? And he had some card that he had printed on the internet.
Right.
And I go, listen, you and I both know this is a scam.
Right.
And he goes, well, if you're not interested. And he turned around and started to walk out. And I walked out with him. I go, no, give me a number. Give me, because I was going to call you.
I'm going to go, I got this buddy Steve. I'm going to just give me your information. Maybe he needs a roof.
That's right. Maybe I do as well.
You know, no, it's okay.
Because you do need the people turned in, right?
You do. We do need the people turned in. We have what's called a scam tracker now that actually tracks these scams happening all over the U.S. And it's all the Better Business Bureau's asking consumers to report a scam. Even though you're not victimized, to let us know. Some things to do on a car like that, it pulls up to get their license plate number as well, because a lot of people don't think about that. But we need you to report the scams to the BBB, even if you don't fall for that, because that'll help preventing from somebody else. So for today, if you go on our heat map, you can see in your neighborhood where the scams are happening and what's happening in your neighborhood to hopefully prevent your neighbors from going through these issues.
Scam tracker.
Scam tracker. BBB scam tracker.
What I found most interesting is that the last time that we talked, Steve, you did it. You commissioned a study to see who was scammed more, millennials or senior citizens.
Right.
You know what? Let's tease them with that. Yeah. Hold that thought. Come back after traffic and tell us who's getting scammed more, kids or their grandparents. Stand by for that. Mary First with your traffic travel spots updates or something similar to that. Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Steve Burness here from the Better Business Bureau, and the Torch Awards is the highest achievement you can get as a business, as far as I'm concerned, because you've been honored by the people that keep an eye on how business does business, and that's coming up.
That's coming up. Actually, our nominations process is in place up till September 30th, so if you know of a good business organization, there's also self-nominations as well. Go to the Better Business Bureau website, nominate a company to receive our highest award, most coveted award, our Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics.
Very nice. And you were asking Andrea before the break about millennials versus old folks, which is not a new reality TV show.
Right, exactly.
Millennials versus seniors. Who gets scammed more? I would think seniors would get scammed more, but...
But the results show us that they don't. It's actually millennials, the younger generation. And it's really the stereotypical little lady getting scammed is not true anymore today because... We believe because of the internet. A lot of the scams reported to us, 80% of them are actually on the internet based as well. And as obviously you know, the millennials are all over the internet and on the internet. And also they're more likely to impulse buy. And what I mean by that, they don't do their checking, their due diligence, and looking for a company and looking and see who owns the company and checking them out with the Better Business Bureau, they just buy. So basically yearly now, the scams are about $50 billion. So think about that, how much money is taken out of the economy. That's a lot of money.
Is it the lack of experience of millennials that gets them into trouble?
It does. Lack of experience, lack of business acumen at all, because they're usually sometimes they start in college, they get the first time away from their parents, and they think they can do everything on their own, like my daughter says she can do on her own, and they end up getting themselves into trouble somehow.
You know, look, you have a wonderful daughter, and but the fact that, you know, this is the best example I've ever seen of, like, my parents, they don't know what they're talking about. You're the Better Business Bureau guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would be the protector.
Exactly. But she, again, they didn't want to do things on their own. They think they know it all, just right. Like we did as kids, and I still think as well.
And
but,
you tend to sign up for everything, too, like orientation, right. Sign up for this, click on this link,
right.
You know, apply for this credit card and that credit card.
Exactly. Signing for everything as well, and those pop-up, you know, ads are really complicated because you don't know who's behind those pop-up ads and what list you then become on, what they call is a sucker list. As soon as that you apply for these things or try to get something free, they'll get you on a sucker list and you'll keep getting stuff and your credit card will be charged or people will be calling you or texting you. And no matter what, on your cell phone, doesn't matter where today, they'll try to find a way to scam you. You know, it's unbelievable what the scammers do today.
As kids go back to school and deal with that, parents and kids have to pay attention. But is there anything else you want to mention in that category?
Identity theft is big among us college students, especially because they don't know how to protect their identity. And it's fresh identity, too. So you don't leave your credit card statements out. You don't leave your credit cards on the table and things of that nature. And also get your credit report as a student. Once a year, annualcreditreport.com. Every consumer should get it. Again, annualcreditreport.com.
Free once a year.
Free once a year. Yeah. And that's the first indication you've been a victim of identity theft. And that's the most important, is to check it out, but also protect your identity and never give anybody your Social Security number or your mother's maiden name if you don't know who they are and they're calling you on the phone, no matter if they're saying from the bank, because people believe their caller IDs. It's a $20 simple program, what we call caller ID spoofing. They can say they're the IRS, they can say they're WGN, they can say they're whoever they want to be in those phone calls.
If your credit score is 650 or less, you probably have some action on the credit report that needs to be dealt with.
Exactly.
Where do you send kids for that?
Well, basically, you got to find out who, you know, who gave you the bad notice or mark against you, and you got to deal with them directly and see if they can work with them on that. But again, you don't pay somebody to erase that stuff from your credit report because you can't just erase it. If it's verifiable information, you got a lot of companies out there touting that we can clean up your credit and do things for you, and you have to pay us an advance fee. An advance fee is against federal law, but these scammers don't care. They'll ask you for the fees and then run away. So you got to clean up your credit report yourself. Pay your bills on time, students especially. They'll find you, and then when you then leave school and try to buy a house or get married or whatever it may be, and then try to buy a car and you can't do it, or your health insurance rates are higher, all because you didn't pay your bills on time. So pay your bills on time and check your credit report once a year.
Nominate a business you are proud of, whether it's your own or somebody else's, for the BBB Torch Awards before the end of the month. What is the deadline in the website again?
September 30th for the deadline, and December 1st is our award ceremony.
And the website?
BBB.org/Chicago.
Do your big slogan.
Before you buy or hire, BBB it.
See, isn't it great?
Nice cape. That's 8:57, right. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We try to let you know about good people doing good things, and Paul is here. Paul is one of them. Paul Morello, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And a fine graduate of Illinois Wesleyan University. We were just talking about that off the air, as was my daughter. So, Paul, tell us about Hunger Action Month and what we ought to be doing.
Yeah, so Hunger Action Month is a national effort basically to raise awareness of hunger, get people involved. There are so many ways that you can get involved nationally, but locally, too. There are a lot of different things that you can do. One of the things that you can do is raise awareness by wearing orange tomorrow. So tomorrow is this Go Orange Day. Basically, what we're
going to be easy for you with all your Illini gear.
I know. Got it all ready to go.
There you go. Yeah. Not, you know, we're not asking you to just like don a completely orange suit or anything, but wear an orange tie, you know, some type of orange accessory, basically just to show your support for hunger relief.
What about taking definitive steps by way of volunteering or contributing?
Yeah, so one of the easiest things that you can do actually this month, we have this campaign called 86 Hunger. Basically, 30 or so Chicago area restaurants have designated a specific menu item. And you buy that item, you know, whether it's a drink, an appetizer, entree, what have you, and a portion of the sales from that item goes to the food depository.
Who are a couple of the restaurants you're partnering with?
Oh, wow. Working with Urban Belly, Mercado La Plancha.
And the menus actually designate which items they are?
Yep. You can see the GCFD logo on there, and it'll say the 86 Hunger menu item. So a lot of
different. So if we want to frequent these restaurants, do you list them on your website?
Yep. Yeah, they're on chicagosfoodbank.org. You can see a list, and you can also see like a geographical, all the locations and everything like that.
Be a good thing to do.
Boy, no kidding. It always amazes me too, Paul, when you talk about those who are hungry. It's not just who we would picture, Steve, you know, say, oh, people on, say, Lower Wacker. I mean, these are families.
Can happen to anybody.
That really are in need of a meal.
Yeah, the food depository each year is serving more than 812,000 people, so one out of every six. And what we found is exactly what you said. The face of hunger has changed so much. More often than not, it's people who have jobs. It's people who are essentially doing everything right, but they've struggled. They've lost their job. They've seen their hours cut back. They've become disabled. You mentioned people on Lower Wacker Drive. Yes, we do serve a homeless population, but more than 90% of the people that we serve have a roof over their head. So either they're renting or they own their own home.
And it can be anybody. It can be the people down the street who, you know, maybe you wave to when you leave your house and they're living in a nice house, but they're on the razor's edge. And they're just trying to make ends meet and trying to figure out what's going to happen because somebody lost a job. And a couple of months of that adds up. And then you start deciding, okay, what are we going to pay for? What are we going to not pay for? And it snowballs, right?
Yeah, exactly. People have to make those really difficult decisions, especially when they're on either a fixed income or when, say, it's a two-parent household. One of the parents is working. The other parent has lost their job. Maybe they bought that house, they bought that car when they were both working, they both had jobs, they were doing fine then, but now with a limited income, it's a struggle. So people make decisions between food and medicine, food and gas. You know, we have the holidays coming up, people are going to start having to decide between food and paying that utility bill, that heating bill.
What is the biggest misnomer people have about people that are hungry?
I think there are, well, I think there are a lot. One of the things that we try to really break down the stereotype of is that people who are hungry are people who are lazy. You know, that's just, or people who are gaming the system. That's just not the case. I mentioned that a lot of the people who are struggling in our community are people who are working. More than half of the households that we serve have someone in them who's worked in the last year. So they're people who are doing everything right, working to do everything right, working to make ends meet and to make their lives better.
Again, it's wear orange tomorrow.
Right.
But to take definitive steps even beyond wearing orange, and it's nice if you can wear orange.
Yes.
But you don't have to be loaded. You just have to have energy to help and maybe count your blessings and realize how lucky you are to have what you have and share the wealth.
Yeah. And, you know, besides just wearing orange, you can start a food drive. You can volunteer at the food depository. You can volunteer at an agency in the community. There's so much that people can do beyond just wearing orange that makes a difference. And it doesn't even need to necessarily involve donating. There's so much else that you can do.
Go to one of these restaurants, too. I mean, there's so many on here. There's Glazed and Infused, so you can go buy a donut and help out. You know, you don't have to have a huge meal.
Their donuts ought to be illegal, like glazed and infused. I'm not a donut guy, but I'd eat those.
Yeah, and it's yeah, exactly. It makes going out even better. You know,
how'd you get in the business?
How did I get in? Well, you know, actually, I was in radio at Illinois Wesleyan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and did radio for 3-4 years and decided
and then became homeless and hungry. And said, I know how this feels. I want to help people.
Yeah, not exactly, but moved back up to the suburbs and really like the organization and what they do.
I don't want to jeopardize Paul's chances for being on the show again and again and again and again, but he's very good friends with the former employee of this program.
Who's that?
Kevin Powell.
It's true.
How do you know Kevin?
Kevin actually was my, believe it or not, was my intern. I worked at WJBC Radio in Bloomington. Yeah. And him and I did the Illinois State University football games. He was my highlight coordinator.
Basically. Is that right?
Yeah.
Small world stuff because he knows Amy Cochran as well from Illinois Wesleyan.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's like the hub of activity down there in Bloomington Normal. Yeah.
Was Kevin disloyal and not trustworthy then as well?
I mean, he was actually pretty good. He, you know, I think he didn't have an apartment in Bloomington. So
he lived in his car.
Well, he might have. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was driving from the northern suburbs all the way down to Bloomington Normal every Saturday morning just to cover these games with me.
Yeah,
he was pretty good. I was always happy with him.
And Dave Bennett, let's go live to Dave now in Bloomington Normal.
Yeah.
Dave, don't we have the head coach of the Illinois State Fear the Bird Redbirds on this week?
I've heard a rumor that the head coach, Brock Spack, will be joining the program. I think Friday. Maybe?
Yeah, I think that's true. Why would that be?
Because the Redbirds are venturing into Ryan Field on Saturday to take on your Northwestern Wildcats.
Go Cats.
There it is.
So it's Cats against Birds.
Yeah. All right. So you like the way that stacks up, I'm thinking.
Usually it tends to favor the Cats.
We'll have Coach Fitz on as well. 86 Hunger. 86 Hunger, the campaign. And again, give people the website.
Chicagosfoodbank.org.
Thanks for the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's 9:15. We'll come back, and Mary Vandeveld will lead the Don't Care team into their first football picks of the NFL season. And once again, for the second time this morning, we'll grind the show to a halt on 720 WGN.
Welcome to the 2016 Wang Dang Doodle. The Do Cares versus the Don't Cares. Let's get it on.
Commissioner Orion Samuelson. Bennett, we're going to need you to report to the studio so that you can make your picks as well. And let's go to producer Sandberg here to explain what we're about to do.
We're doing the Wang Dang Doodle.
Let me guess, Mary's on the Don't Care team.
Yeah. Yeah, you must be psychic. This year, we've split the league into two teams, the Do Cares and the Don't Cares. The Do Cares picked earlier, that team headed by Captain Dave Bennett. How do you feel we did earlier, Dave?
I feel very good about how we did earlier.
Because you care.
I care a lot.
Right. That team includes Andrea, you, and I, and...
Your mother.
My mom.
And Mikey.
And Mike, of course, yes. The Don't Care team, captained by Mary Vandeveld. Let's bring her in right now.
I came up with the name for our team.
What's your team?
The Double MJBs. That's not a good name.
I thought you're the Don't Care
Double
team.
Double M, Mary, Mary. J would be John DeCoste, B Bennett, and
that might be a stretch.
S Steve.
The Double MJBs. MJBSs? Oh, MJBSs.
No, not BSs.
Have the Double BJs.
I feel like, that's not good.
I feel like the nickname's a little long.
Yeah.
How about
just
the,
a lot
how about
of
the care
letters.
People?
Then you come up with something.
How about the care people are starting not to care?
The don't care team are fighting already.
Well,
this
you
is
know
fantastic.
What? At least I tried and tried to come up with a name. You guys don't have anything.
I don't really care about
except
a name.
The first five quarterback picks.
Do you not care? Do you not care about your team members now because they're fighting you on this?
I care about my team. Steve, just come up with some food that we can bring in.
Is there food?
As long as you bring it.
This is going to go well.
This team is hilarious.
Here's the deal. You pick one quarterback. Okay. You pick one quarterback, and you pick the score of one game not already chosen earlier this morning. We begin with the order of picks is selected out of a hat. But
what?
The hat was my size. Mary Vandeveld, you're the captain. You pick first.
That's right. Okay. Can I just ask Dave a quick question?
No.
Dave, the
Why?
Captain.
Posing captains are meeting.
No, it's a sports question.
Our team
is this a
question.
Captain meeting?
Yes.
No,
this,
it's a sports
question. It's like before the game when the captains meet
Orion?
With the official.
All right, I'll look it up.
Well, what's the question?
Go ahead.
You can ask the field.
What's
you don't
the
need
question?
To ask Dave. What do you need to
Tom
know?
Brady's out, right, for
yes.
four games?
Yes.
Okay.
Do not pick Garoppolo.
What?
He's mine.
Who?
What, how can you yell at your captain?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Oh, your captain's
you can pick
bench
him,
you.
But he's out for four fight, games. Fight, so go ahead.
No, all right. Who are you picking?
Wow, Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer.
Good pick, Mary.
Carson thanks, Dave.
Don't
do you mean it?
Give her
and the game you're picking.
Did anybody do the Packer Jaguar game?
Yes,
yet?
They did.
Who did?
No, I don't
Mike.
Think they did.
No.
Did they? Did you
no.
do the game itself? You didn't do the game.
Did anyone pick it?
Picked the quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, Packers over the Jaguars, 28-24.
Well, much closer than I would think, but that's a good pick.
You.
All right. Moving on, because we're really off to a smooth start here. Let's go to Cranky Sandberg. Cranky, what do you got?
Yes, I'm having Garoppolo is my guy. He's
really?
The cutest one. Mm-hmm.
That's why you picked him, because he's cute?
Yep.
But he's out for four games.
No, he's
you're
starting.
It's Brady.
No.
Oh.
Brady is like the old guy, cute guy.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's like the new cute guy.
So. Okay, easy. My
because that's
up
what's
here.
Important.
And the game you're picking?
I'm going to do Lions-Colts.
Lions-Colts. Who you got?
And, wait, did somebody take that?
No, somebody took Andrew Luck.
Okay, I am going to do the Lions. They're going to win 17-14.
No, I don't know. The Colts are pretty good.
Don't. Give
I like the Lions uniforms
the
better.
Okay.
You all like right. the, that's awesome.
Let's go to Steve Grzanich, whose picks should be food-related.
Mm. I'm going with Rex Grossman of the St. Louis Cardinals. Against the Staley Bears by 5.
Is that real?
Can I have a timeout with
him? I don't
know
what the hell he said.
Steve.
Yeah.
Is this football?
Rex Grossman. Is Rex Grossman still playing?
No.
Is he out now? He was with the Redskins.
He was. He might
maybe he's playing
still
football.
Be on somebody's roster, but I haven't heard his name all preseason.
All right, Dave, why don't you do this, Dave? Why don't you give us... I mean, Steve, why don't you give us a town you like in America?
Jay Cutler's available.
Well, yeah. Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's going to pick Cutler.
I'll take Jay Cutler.
Absolutely.
Cutler. Go Bears.
Now you have to pick a score in a game.
Well, the Bears and the Texans.
No, that's already been chosen.
I already picked them. Sorry,
wait a
Steve.
Second. How?
Can I offer you Tampa Bay at Atlanta?
Okay, Tampa Bay and Atlanta. I do like Atlanta, so I'm going to go with Atlanta. By 5 points? Can I do that? 6 points?
You need to actually give us a score.
Yeah. 21-20.
That would be 20. One
okay.
Point.
Well, that'd actually be 1 point.
How about 20-19?
That would also be 1 point. Yeah. All right, Jay Cutler and 20-19 Atlanta over Tampa Bay.
I will say their team is very highly entertaining.
So is Grzanich when he picks football.
Yeah.
Bennett, you're next.
Let's see here. So the QB, I'll go with Cam Newton.
Oh, I
already been chosen.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Bummer.
Yeah, he's the number one quarterback.
This is the Wang-Dang part of it.
You know Andrea would take
this
him.
Is actually the dang part.
The focusing part is really not a strong suit. Yeah. But in that sense, then we'll go with Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it could be a good game.
Who knows?
Good
pick. Don't know much about him.
And now a score?
Well, that's just the QB, so I haven't said anything about the
game. Still on the board. You got San Diego KC still on the board.
Has
Cincinnati and the Jets, I believe, is still on the board.
What about Philly?
Cleveland, Philly. Did anybody pick Cleveland, Philly? I don't think they did.
No. All right. We'll do we're going to go with Cleveland beating Philly.
Give me a score.
6-2.
14-7.
Oh, so by 5 again.
Good
using
job,
the Grzanich
map.
Just a low scoring game.
Yeah, once again by 5. Yes. And John DeCoss wasn't able to join us because he's actually on with Eric and Kathy and Steve Harvey right now. You have his selections?
I do. So I'm going to read his funny joke first.
Well, don't kick it in the teeth by calling it a funny joke. Just read it.
His pick is Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with like the candlestick.
Yeah.
Oh, Grzanich likes it.
Uh-huh. Colonel Mustard's QB rating is awful.
And then the, I think that's like a festival in Evanston.
And did he have a score in a game?
He didn't. Then he switched to Trevor Seaman.
Oh.
Simeon.
Simeon? Oh, he wrote Seaman.
Who's he?
He went to
played at Northwestern.
See, their team's highly entertained.
Where does he play now?
He's in Denver.
He's in Denver.
Starting quarterback for the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos.
Okay. And so now he's the Broncos, because that guy, you know that guy that's in all the commercials, he retired.
Mm-hmm. That'd be Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Broncos, Panthers.
Him.
Did anyone pick that game yet?
Broncos, Panthers. I don't think anybody did.
No.
Did they?
No.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. And he says 24-21 Broncos.
Okay. So there you go. Well, that wasn't so hard.
No.
Can I tell you, we got through everything.
I have a Rex Grossman jersey that I got from that other station.
Oh, you should wear that a lot.
It sits in my closet. I would really?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
You should wear it.
Yeah, you should wear it out. See what kind of comments you get.
Yeah. Somebody will throw an egg at me.
He was very popular
here.
Yes,
he was.
Yes. All right, you've been listening to the Wang Dang Doodle, an exclusive production of the Steve Cochran Show, because honestly, why else would anyone take this kind of time to do it?
And I'm going through the effort of putting a post up each week, so I'd like people to click on that at WGN Radio.
I love the fact that Orion is our announcer. That was great.
He's the commissioner.
Please.
Yeah, he'll shut it
and just wait.
Click
if you screw
on
up.
The link. Click on the link. Look at it, please, because otherwise Sandberg will be mad at me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't need that kind of hassle.
Yes.
And then our team chemistry is way off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't want that.
That's cute that you think you have team chemistry.
Yeah.
It's 9:27.
Funnier than you. Oh, and crabbier too.
You know what we should call them? The Duke Cares and the Bitchy Team.
Yeah.
That should be the two teams.
We should get together for one of those things that they do when they play the game and they talk to each other.
The huddle.
Yeah, yeah. That.
You guys should do that.
Yeah, why don't you huddle up right now? It's 9:27. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Hug it, chug it, football.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, more vino, senorita.
Oh, lordy. Oh, hey, more vino. Cantare.
Oh, 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 oh. I think I sing better when I'm lit up, don't you?
Yo, yeah. Way up to the
clouds. Joining us now in studio. Away from the madness. The head honcho from the Windy City Wine Festival. Hold that microphone in front of you. What's your name?
Fisher.
Say it again.
Marcus Fisher.
And Marcus, what is your title?
Director of Sales and Marketing.
Windy City Wine Festival is how old?
12th annual year this year.
And has Dave been every year?
No, I'm not sure every year.
I have not, no.
He's worn different disguises as time's gone on. How many vendors?
Total wine vendors is 60.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Each one's pouring six wines, so 300 wines plus total.
And 60 wines representing what part of the country?
Globally.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, New Zealand, Spain, North America, everywhere.
You have to taste all of them because... Damn it, it's your job and somebody's got
to
do it?
Somebody has to do it, yes.
Yes, yes. How long has it been since that you've had wine? I mean, do you start your day with it? Has it been in the last 5 minutes?
An hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a wine snob?
I am not.
Okay, because wine snobs are annoying people and you don't appear to be one.
No, I like to say I'm a cork dork.
You're a cork dork.
I like that.
That's a cool term. All right, let's get the wheres and whens out. Where and when?
Buckingham Fountain, Friday and Saturday. Friday, the hours are 4:30 till 10. Saturday, 2:30 till 8.
Doesn't it seem dangerous to have it near the fountain?
There's a fence around it, though.
The fence around the drinkers?
Well, they should put a fence around the drinkers. That's a good point.
I mean, your steps from the lake, you know, you could fall in the fountain. Who's watching Dave?
You could.
Who's watching Dave? It's a beautiful venue.
You see, you set up vendors all over the area around the fountain.
We use the whole quadrant, yes, to put up vendors, food, best restaurants here in Chicago. A lot of other exhibitors, and then we've got a sponsor village as well.
Do you pair four people so they don't look foolish when they go, I think I'd like fish with this, and then others mock them?
We don't try to do that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
So you can wander, get your own food?
You sure can.
Get your own wine?
Get your own wine, get your own food.
Who are some of the highlighted vendors that you'd like to highlight at this time?
The two that I brought today is Opalo Vendors from California, and Winty Vineyards from California as well. We got a Pinot, and we have a Zinfandel.
Oh, stop bragging. All right, bring those by. I normally don't drink on the show, but I'll make an exception for you.
Thank you, Audrey. Thanks.
And tell me about this particular Pinot.
It is a 2013, I believe. I'm not even
that. Believe? You're the boss. What do you mean you believe?
I should know. But it's Livermore Valley. Very good Pinot, soft on the nose. Hints of fruit.
Hints of fruit and other things.
That's right.
Hints of grape. Oh, this is so weird. This wine has grape in it.
I love a nice Pinot.
Do we have a spit bucket? I mean, I don't need it for this, but you know, I'm going to sample a lot of wines.
We will at the festival, but not here.
That's very good.
It's delicious.
It's very good.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And it's called what?
Winty Vineyards Pinot Noir.
And from where again? Where are the vineyards?
Livermore Valley.
Okay. Can we buy this?
You can.
And all over town?
A lot
or
of retail.
At the festival?
You can buy it at the festival, yes.
So you do sell wine at the festival?
We do. So okay. If you like the wine that you sample, you go up to the Vin Chicago order booth. You can submit your order there, and then you get it for a discount.
What's so cool is that there are so many, obviously, there's so many vendors, but there's 300 different kinds of wines that are available from all.
It's 300
Oregon,
different kind of wines. I wish
Washington.
You'd bring that up.
You see the legs, Steve?
The legs in the wine?
Yes, in the glass.
No, what does that mean?
The legs, it's the like remnants of the wine on the inside of the glass.
You do that. You tilt it. Don't spill it.
Sure. And that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're a leg man. What'd you say, Andrew?
Shows you how much alcohol's in it.
It's full-bodied.
Oh, look at you.
Full-bodied, see?
It's interesting that Audrey seems to be an expert on this as well.
And you know what? When you taste, not to be critical, you need to really just smell it for a little bit longer.
You know,
exactly.
The wine diva, my very good friend from years past, who passed away a few years ago after fighting cancer forever, was my favorite wine person because she could roll with the snobs and she could roll with the rednecks, you know, and everybody in between. And that's what you were describing, cork dork.
That's right.
You know, somebody that understands the whole spectrum. But she always made fun of me. Why? You remember the story, right?
Because
when I would sample wine, she said it looked like I was having cough medicine.
It did.
Because occasionally I would sip a wine that might be a little, I don't drink much, thank God. And I'd sip a wine and I would say from the vineyards of Robitussin, which she didn't find that funny. So at one point, she actually brought in a bottle that she had emptied and she filled it with Robitussin. And she actually poured it for me.
And what did you think? Did you notice a difference?
I thought it was wine until she laughed a lot. Yeah. So how about a toast to the wine dealer?
That's right, to Chris. Right?
All right, here we go.
Laughing
and what
up.
Is this again?
The Pinot Noir from Winty Vineyards.
Okay.
And by the way, she's still laughing at how you taste wine. There you go.
It's good. A little different. Yeah, a little different. Audrey, tell me why this is different.
Well, that's because you switched to the Zinfandel.
That's why it tastes different.
There you go.
Yeah.
We didn't
want
to correct
it's
you.
It's stronger, right? Yeah. Oakier.
Is it stronger?
I think so it's going to
say it's a little weaker.
It's 15.5% alcohol.
What?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I told?
It's a little more fruit-forward, a little more tannins, typically. Mm-hmm. Great for barbecue.
See?
There
you go.
All right, good.
I like that.
As you can tell, I'm an expert drinker and a wine connoisseur. So this is available at the show as well?
It is available, yes.
All right, so tell me the process. Dave will show up, and then what time do I need to pick him up?
Pick him up early, probably. But process, you get your tickets when you enter.
Yeah.
Souvenir wine glass. Why don't you go around and sample 12 one-ounce pours, many of the 300 different wines being poured.
And mention your sponsor, U.S. Bank, right?
U.S. Bank is the presenting sponsor of this event.
Yeah.
Great partner.
And I like these glasses. Those are great because, you know, we can lose them and not feel bad about ourselves.
These are unbreakable, and I've tried to break them myself, so you cannot.
Is that right?
This. Yes.
Look at you.
Hey, I have a wine question as far as serving it. Are the stemless still in? I know the stemless wine glasses were really big for a long time. Are they still kind of the hot drink glass right
are they
now?
Hip?
It's a fad, but yes.
It is?
Yeah,
okay.
They're still in, especially for outdoors.
Yeah.
Easy to carry, hard to drop, especially with these Govino ones. The thumbprint's kind of high, so your hand's not going to warm up the wine.
Yeah, they're not damaged glasses. Your thumb's supposed to go there. Yes. And the screw top wines, are most vineyards using screw tops now?
More are going that way.
What's the percentage, do we know?
Not sure on the percentage, but
nobody told me there'd be math.
Obviously more whites because you want to preserve that acidity and brightness.
Totally.
So a lot of people with their red wines like that oak and cork and that kind of terroir feel with the cork. So
when you open a bottle of red and you're not going to drink it all, should you leave it on the counter or put it back in the fridge?
I would put it back in the fridge and then the next day leave it out for 20 minutes to get it back to that 55, 65 degrees, because a lot of room temperatures aren't room temperature as cellars in France typically were.
Right. Cool. It's good to
look at you, you little wine nut.
She's great. That's, I always wondered that. Didn't you always wonder if you open a bottle of red, because you typically don't, you know, serve that chilled or too
I get,
cold.
You know, we get gifted a lot of wine. And
we do?
Yeah. Well, okay. I get gifted a lot of wine.
Yes. I haven't seen that.
And yes, so
I've seen mine.
So I have a lot of bottles of wine. And I should probably open them all, dump them out, and throw them away. Because wine does not, you can't keep wine forever, right? Unless you know what you're doing.
Oh, you keep, can keep it forever.
Yeah.
Keep it on its side so the cork doesn't dry out. But, I mean, there are bottles from the early 1900s still going around.
Right, but that's my point. You can't just throw them on a counter and go, here, I'll pick this up in 2 years. They have to be stored properly.
Yeah, just on its side should work, as long as it's not too hot, not in the sun.
Yeah, all the wine that you're gifted from now on, just give to me and Dave. Yeah.
Okay.
Audrey and I can take it.
Apparently. Yeah, apparently. All right, one more time. Where do you get tickets for the Windy City Wine Festival?
WindyCityWineFestival.com or event Chicago locations here in Chicago.
Nice of you to come in. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thanks for the hooch. Yeah, appreciate that as well. 747. Look at that. Two sips of wine. I can't even tell time. 9:47. We're back in a moment. 7:47 for the listeners in LA. Back in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Dave, your dog got skunked.
Got skunked last night.
So you did what we all would do in that case. You got a new dog.
And I took him back to Dogs R Us in exchange.
Right. Well, see you later.
Ozzy's going to be okay. The skunk got him, didn't get him full blast.
Mm-hmm.
But I made the mistake of then picking him up.
I wondered what that was.
It's a formidable scent.
I thought maybe.
I'm warning you guys.
You stink.
Dave was wearing a little sex panther this morning.
Stings the nostrils.
Maybe a new cologne.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different around here this
morning.
It's
a little nasty.
And I'm going to be honest with you, that smells like pure gasoline.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Well done, Jake. Tremendous as always. Bill O'Wendy coming up at 10. The Wang Dang Doodle summary at this point for me would be simple. And that's that the Do Care team has a strong advantage over the Don't Care team. The Don't Care team was vicious. They were fighting. They were complaining. There was a lot of acrimony.
A lot of infighting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mary, do you feel you have a handle over your team?
Yeah, we weren't fighting. We were just getting established.
Is that what that's called?
Mm-hmm.
We will post the Do Care and Don't Care teams online to see if you think that we're going to get it done as the season rolls on. Now, several people said, should we involve a listener? Well, of course we should involve a listener.
Oh, yeah.
So let's make this easy. Let's take the seventh caller at 312-981-7200. Do this off the air. 312-981-7200. Take a quarterback and have them guess a game. And each week we'll have a new listener. And just for calling in, we'll give them prizes. As a matter of fact, let's go to the prize sheet right now.
So the listener, though, is on the impartial team, right? They're not on
either team.
They're just an independent team.
They're an exhibition category.
Got it.
312-981-7200. And here's what we'll give you. We'll give you a pair of tickets to the sold-out Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival on Saturday, September 24th, inside the United Center. The Outdoor Free Festival starts at 8. The doors to the inside open at 9. The first 10,000 fans to enter get a Seabrook bobblehead. Well, that's pretty cool. And that's just for entering, or just for joining us, I should say, for the Wang Dang Doodle. You know what? Give them a pizza, too. Give them a Lou Malnati's pizza as well at loumalnati's.com. Oh, and I'm told we have tickets to the Windy City Wine Festival.
Oh, cool.
Our guest didn't mention that.
Yeah.
So give them tickets to the wine festival.
Dave and I will see him there.
Make sure they're over 21.
Can I just say how this is kind of nice that we're on? Dave and I are on the same team. Normally we're competing, you know, neck and neck, one and two, me one, him two. But it's normally we're neck and neck. It's nice to be on the same team together, right?
Yeah. One listener is going to win right now, and the greatest joy I can give to that listener is they're not on either team. Yeah.
But
yeah,
we're still going to keep individual stats.
Yes, we are. And the separate listener team will probably tattoo all of us.
Oh, you're so going down.
A couple of headlines we didn't have time to get to this morning. There is a condo unit going up in the Old Coast. The Gold Coast, I should say, Gold Coast Tower listing at $13 million. You guys in? Who wants it? $13
million? We all chip in a couple of dollars, yeah.
I have the floor plan here, $13 million. Probably a pretty good view of the lake for $13 million, I'm thinking.
You should own the lake.
The Attorney General of Florida is a woman named Pam Bondi.
Pam Bondi got a massive discount for a fundraiser at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. As this starts to get uglier and uglier, you cannot take a foundation, a charitable tax-free foundation, and take that foundation money and use it for political reasons. Donald Trump did it on numerous occasions. He's paid fines to the IRS. But in this case, he also apparently gave favors to Pam Bondi, who then mysteriously, completely coincidentally, dropped her Florida investigation of Trump University. There are four other attorneys general who are being investigated, possibly as many as five, including the current governor of Texas, who was then attorney general, when he also got a donation from Trump and then dropped the investigation of Trump University. Gosh, what a shock.
That's illegal.
Julian, the creep criminal Julian Assange continues to wedge his way into this presidential campaign. Says the Hillary Clinton document leak that he threatened could come as early as next week. Why there is not an international effort to arrest this guy and put him away forever is beyond me. He's not a journalist. He's a criminal. That's the bottom line. And I would say the same thing if he was dumping Trump documents. This guy is not to be held up as some kind of hero. He's a crook.
Where is he now?
Is he still in the Ecuadorian embassy?
He is still at the embassy? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
And why don't we make some sort of a deal to go in and get him and bring him here and try him?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Congratulations to NASA astronaut Jeff Williams back from space. Set a record for the amount of time he spent in space. 534 days, 2 hours, and 48 minutes. Previous record holder was Scott Kelly, who had a 520-day total in space. 534 days.
And you still would do it?
Yeah, I wouldn't stay that long.
Well, no, but I mean, if they offered you, if they said, okay, because you've said.
I'd fly tomorrow.
You'd fly tomorrow.
Absolutely.
But what if they said to you, this is your only opportunity, you get to go.
How long do I have to stay?
You have to stay a year and a half. Two years.
No, I can't do that.
How about a year?
No, I'm looking at 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks and I come back.
I think it takes 2 weeks to get there, doesn't it?
You think I'd fly up to the space station and I go, all right, cool, can we go back now? Can we?
Take a selfie and then head back?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
On the day that the new Apple iPhone 7 will be announced, what you need are Bluetooth boots. This is very good for me, considering the fact that I put two right shoes on the other day. Bluetooth boots vibrate to guide you to your location.
Oh, you do need those.
So you get to a corner, you don't know where you're going, your pre-programmed map would vibrate. Your left foot would vibrate, telling you to turn left. Your right foot would vibrate, telling you to turn right.
You know, the Apple Watch does that.
It tells you which way to go?
Tells you which way. I mean, it has GPS, so if you have it on your phone, you program where you want to go.
My sense of direction is so bad, I need it in my boots, on my phone, and a map as well.
Perfect.
See, we could tell you which way to go, and you don't even have to spend money.
That's true about that, yeah. And finally, congratulations to a 99-year-old woman who still is a secretary. 99 years old. Elizabeth Davis celebrated her workiversary at a place called Culver Academics. She has held the same job for 80 years.
Wow. She calls Orion kid.
Yeah, that's exactly right. She's a cougar. Yeah. Couple of minutes before 10, Bill and Wendy are next.